Chapter 15. Chilling out about 9/11 with Sterling D. Allen and Stephen E. Jones. The 17th of September 2013. In early November 2012, I was honored to attend the Global Breakthrough Energy Movement, BEM, conference in Hilversum, Netherlands, to give a presentation entitled Infinite Energy, but Not for the Masses. A slightly different version of this talk was posted on my website sometime in 2010, Oregon 20111. In the presentation, I discuss how free energy technologies have been and are being gobbled up, using various methods. One method involves the way in which certain groups or individuals function, in that they give the appearance they are interested in helping to bring out free energy technologies, but when the evidence pertaining to their activities is studied carefully, it becomes clear there is something missing. It seems that they are not helping people to understand the fullest picture of what has been discovered about free energy technology. It seems that in many cases, free energy researchers will not talk about the evidence that free energy technology has already been turned into a weapons system, and this weapons system was used on the 11th of September. Granted, some of these researchers are still not aware of Dr. Judy Wood's research, which proves that free energy technology has been weaponized. The cover-up of this research has been quite successful, which is why I have been writing about it since 2007. Sterling Allen and Pezen.com. Over the last few years, Allen has built up a large and interesting website, wiki about free energy systems, researchers and projects. It holds a considerable amount of information, in a well-organized structure. It is, or was, updated daily, or almost daily, http://pezen.com/. There is no doubt that this is a valuable resource, but I am afraid that due to recent developments, I have to raise serious questions about the integrity of the 9/11 related information on the site, which, as readers will know, has been an area of special interest of mine over the last few years. Again, as with Stephen Greer's Free Energy Initiatives, CeasePower, Aero 2012, the Orion Project and, lately, Sirius Technologies, which I have analyzed and written about before, the intent seems good, but actual concrete results seem to be minimal or non-existent. My concern about some pages on the site increased when I realized that initially, there was little reference to Dr. Judy Wood's research, even though the site held articles about the research of John Hutchison. However, there was, at the time, more reference to the research of Stephen E. Thermite Jones. The Pezen site mentions him on quite a number of pages. The site also references alien scientist videos, describing one as outstanding. See Chapter 0 for more information about this alien scientist. Sterling D. Allen at Global BEM 2012. Sterling Allen was a speaker at the 2012 conference. Curiously, he did spend some time talking about 9/11, which isn't talked about all that much in proportion to the amount of information on www.pezen.com. No prizes for guessing what particular part of 9/11 research he chose to discuss. Note: in the referenced video here, there are some problems with flashing images due to some issues with the video editing. Even though this is only a preview of the presentation, there is a section which is approximately 4 minutes long where he says he will be going on a tangent about something he has never talked about, presumably, in public. He then says he is reading a book, Dr. Judy Wood's Where Did the Towers Go? (3), and he proceeds to present and discuss some of the details. However, in a manner similar to what Richard Hoagland did in 2011, Allen makes significant errors in his presentation. As was the case with Mr. Hoagland's erroneous presentation, Dr. Wood was not consulted about the content of this part of Allen's presentation, neither was she aware he was going to speak about this at the conference. Some errors in the presentation are discussed below. Initially, when he starts discussing Dr. Wood's research, at 8:37, Allen describes a pillar of iron, though he then corrects himself to say steel. 8:47, Sterling Allen says, "The is new technology based on a lot of energy, probably a free energy technology." 9:22, the seismic signature was not that of an earthquake and therefore is not rated as a seismic signal, but can only be referred to as producing an equivalent magnitude with certain waves. 9:30, Sterling Allen claims it made the same seismic signature as a superdome that was 1/70th the size of the towers. Which superdome? In Dr. Wood's presentation, she shows that WTC-1 had about 30 times the potential energy of the Seattle Kingdome. In any case, it did not make the same seismic signature. The Seattle King Dome generated S waves, P waves, and surface waves. No S wave or P waves were generated during the destruction of WTC 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Only a surface wave was generated during the destruction of these buildings. So they did not leave the same seismic signature. 9:55, Sterling Allen claims the signal lasted only 6 seconds. It should be 8 seconds for WTC 1. Sterling Allen claims it would take 9 seconds for the things on the top to hit the bottom. Is Sterling Allen claiming the buildings would have collapsed in 9 seconds? Apparently, he has not developed any collapse models and done energy calculations for them. It would take 9.22 seconds to drop a bowling ball from the roof to the ground in a vacuum. 10:20, Sterling Allen claims right next door, 200 feet from this, 12 firemen in a part of a stairwell that wasn't collapsed by the dust. Contrary to what Sterling Allen says, there were 14 people in stairway B who survived, and 2 more who survived higher up in stairway B, even though the stairway didn't survive. 10:35, Sterling Allen implies a directed energy weapon would have to cut everything like a saw at one level and is surprised that this is not what happened, as if he is setting up to claim that therefore a directed energy weapon could not have been used. 10:45, Sterling Allen claims this was new technology they deployed on that day. How does he know the age of the technology? Does he know who they are and has been given it through the facility where it was kept? 10:50, Sterling Allen claims the WTC-7 was destroyed by classic controlled demolition. He obviously hasn't done his homework. 11:40, Sterling Allen discusses the height of the rubble pile of WTC-7. Using the image Sterling Allen presents, albeit distorted, one can see that the rubble pile of WTC-7 is not 6 or 7 stories tall. WTC-6 was an 8-story building and the rubble pile of WTC-7 is much lower down than that. And how does he know where the energy weapon went in? It is interesting to note that Sterling Allen does not say anything similar to, well, Dr. Wood will be presenting her research at this conference, so if you attend her presentation, you will get the full picture. Sterling Allen should have been well aware that Dr. Wood was scheduled to speak on the subject of 9/11 at the conference later that day. Sterling Allen has made a gross misrepresentation of the evidence. Perhaps he will ask to be excused for his errors by claiming he is not a scientist? Yet he claims Dr. Wood has some holes in her logic and contradictions, yet has failed to identify any errors or even take responsibility for making unfounded accusations such as this. One must wonder why Sterling Allen, without a background in physics or structural engineering, feels comfortable making claims that contradict physical evidence that has already been presented. I'd like to suggest that the easiest way to convince the general and less informed public that free energy technology does not exist is to promote false information about what does exist so that it can simply be refuted by people with more knowledge and expertise in relevant fields. One can ask why Sterling Allen is presenting false information about someone else's work. Sterling Allen is not a scientist, so why is he pretending to present scientific work done by someone else where he makes many errors? BOEM Conference Review by Sterling D. Allen. Following the BOEM November 2012 conference, Allen posted a review, in which he writes, "Her premise is that some kind of exotic technology was used to turn the buildings to dust, so that hardly any rubble was left, via a combination of Tesla's death ray and Hutchison-type effects. She presents a wide range of compelling evidence, and in her 3 hours of lecture, she also showed video footage. Her PowerPoint presentation is well formatted to highlight things in such a way that they cannot be overlooked anymore. While there are some holes in her logic and contradictions, overall, I'm convinced there is something to the premise, which the controlled demolition model doesn't satisfy. I'm working on a story about that, but it is not an easy subject. There are some strong points on both sides of the argument. But one thing they both agree on is that the government cover-up story is ridiculously erroneous and impossible, that the buildings came down, in free-fall speed, because they were hit by jets. This essentially repeats errors from his presentation, but goes further and states there are some holes in her logic and contradictions. These holes and contradictions are not identified and discussed and therefore, for the casual reader of Allen's articles, doubt and uncertainty is introduced, possibly without the reader realizing this. Additionally, In Coming with Others, Alan Moss characterizes the evidence and research of Dr. Wood as a premise. Was this an intention of Alan's review? Mr. Alan introduces division by referring to sides of the argument, but truth doesn't have sides. Either something is true, or it is not true. Stephen E. Jones and Cold Fusion and Tritium. As I have repeatedly stated in other chapters and articles, I first became aware of the connection between Stephen E. Jones and what is known as cold fusion in 2006 or 2007. Cold fusion is better described as low-energy nuclear reactions, LEN. Jones also worked for Los Alamos National Laboratories. I first joined Stephen E. Jones and Jim Fetzer's Scholars for 9/11 Truth group in 2005-06 and I trusted Jones' research about thermite. In February 2007, I mentioned the Jones cold fusion connection in the new 9/11 Hijackers Article 94 that I had posted. Since then, more has become known about the connection between the evidence found in LEN research and evidence found at the World Trade Center. This is to do with tritium levels, a radioactive subform of hydrogen. In LEN, anomalous levels of tritium were found in experiments carried out by many groups of researchers, one group being headed by Professor John Bockris at Texas A&M University. Dr. Wood and myself discussed this connection in our respective presentations at the BAM 2012 Conference 209, November 9–11, 2012. It was of great interest to me, then, when I found out that Sterling Allen had made a new posting on his website less than 1 week after the conference. The posting included a letter from Stephen E. Jones, about LEN, cold fusion, which Stephen E. Jones had given a presentation on in October 2012. From Stephen Jones. Sent, Saturday, November 17, 2012, 4:15 p.m., GMT-7. Subject, slides, with minor edits, from seminar given at UNIF of Missouri, the 25th of October 2012. Gents. Scientists at the University of Missouri invited me to give a seminar and also provided a tour of their lab, where they are doing related experiments. I'm excited about this, and even if my hypothesis turns out to be incorrect, the research is proceeding well. I wish to re-emphasize that I find data for anomalous excess heat, without evidence for commensurate fusion products, to be compelling at this time. Back in 1989, I tried repeatedly to get P&F to drop their claim that the excess heat was due to DD fusion, to no avail at the time. In fact, my insistence on this point, that it was not DD fusion, earned me some enemies it seems. In recent years, many if not most researchers in the field have come to share this view, it's not DD cold fusion, but something else. Even Flussman admitted it was not DD fusion, before his passing. Here I raise an hypothesis to account for the anomalous excess heat, an idea that, evidently, none of the UNIF of Missouri researchers had heard of before. Best wishes. Stephen Jones. Emeritus etc. P.S. Slides from the Naval Research Lab which I cited are publicly available from the ICCF 17, August 2012, conference in Korea, here. http://newenergytimes.com/v2/conferences/2012/f17/iccf17papers.shtml. Torquia 12, Dominguez et al. It is interesting to note that this was posted on Sterling Allen's website in the days immediately following Dr. Wood's presentation at BAM. Because Dr. Wood's presentation included a discussion of a vote on cold fusion research that Stephen E. Jones led in 1989. It has become clear to me that Stephen E. Jones has lied about Martin Fleischmann's work in the field of LEN, when he said, even Flussman admitted it was not DD fusion, before his passing. He repeats this false statement in a 2012 interview with Charles Giuliani. The truth is that Bonds and Fleischmann soon revised their conclusion that nuclear fusion was involved. Source, New Energy Times, within a year, Fleischmann and Bonds backed off on their claim that their experiment showed evidence of fusion, but they did not retract their claim that their experiment revealed something new and inexplicable. They wrote the following in their 1990 paper. The preliminary note was to have been published under the title Electrochemically Induced Fusion of Deuterium? But the all-important question mark was omitted. It is our view that there can be little doubt that one must invoke nuclear processes to account for the magnitudes of the enthalpy releases, although the nature of these processes is an open question at this stage. Also, Jones himself admits that he coined the term cold fusion to describe the process and research that he and a colleague, Paul Palmer, had been working on in the mid-1980s. Jones implies that Bonds, Fleischmann then decided to adopt this term to label their own research, which was in a completely different area than Jones' research. The truth seems to be that Bonds and Fleischmann, in common with other researchers working in the same field, were not happy about ongoing use of the Jones coin term cold fusion. One might ask, are both Sterling D. Allen and Stephen E. Jones being deliberately careless in their description of important details, to divert people away from making connections between disparate sets of evidence? Is Stephen E. Jones worried? A posting on the 11th of January 2014 on a site called 9/11 Blogger, a site which I rarely see referenced these days, states, many are aware that Judy Wood continues to attack Richard Gage, me, and Niels Harrit by name. See for example her talk here, https://www.youtube.com/watch.v=t1nbbxxki, especially towards the end. I should like to add that Wood's attack on me, in this talk, for a vote in 1989 regarding cold fusion claims is misleading and the most unfair. The question I raised was, did Bonds and Fleischmann see deuterin-deuterin fusion as they claimed? My main argument then as now is that the observation of anomalous excess heat does not prove that DD fusion is the cause, contrary to claims at the time. Even Fleischmann before his passing in 2012 finally admitted that he should not have called it fusion. This accusation again is untrue. Dr. Wood's presentation does not attack Stephen E. Jones or anyone in the manner Jones states. One might even say the reverse is actually true of Gage 96, and of Jones if you listen to the clip above. Indeed, what he says above about Fleischmann and the vote being about DD fusion is also untrue. 280. Stephen E. Jones, remembering WTC molten metal and paint on thermite. I would now like to remind readers that Stephen E. Jones was one of the first researchers to talk about molten metal in relation to the events and aftermath of the WTC destruction. Indeed, Jones referred repeatedly to a video clip I helped him edit together in 2006 which he claimed showed molten metal flowing from one of the WTC towers, before its destruction. Jones falsely claimed that molten aluminium is silvery in appearance at all temperatures and daylight conditions. As I have repeatedly noted, molten metal was spoken of frequently by Jones and later by Richard Gage of AE911, but Jones and his co-authors did not mention molten metal in their request for corrections, RFC, submission to NIST in 2007255. I contend that the molten metal stories were promulgated because some people really did see molten metal, firefighters apparently saw it, and Jones knew this. However, the metal was made to melt and or glow by a process other than heating, that is some kind of process similar to what happens in some of John Hutchison's experiments. In order to keep the hot molten metal myth alive, it seems Stephen E. Jones had to come up with some highly dubious suggestions, such as beams in the towers being painted with thermite 102 or thermite. Keeping it in the family? Another curious thing which arose shortly before the BEM conference was that Sterling Allen's brother, Nathan Allen, posted a review of Where Did the Towers Go? On the Amazon page. Apparently, it was Nathan Allen who described Dr. Judy Wood's book to Sterling Allen and he became interested in it. Though the review is favorable, he also wrote, her scholarship is so great in some areas, though unfortunately in parts she strays a bit far into tenuous tangents. For instance, even mentioning the Coral Castle and its surrounding hearsay unnecessarily discredits her efforts. The best nougats are tantalizingly hidden in subtle places throughout the book. He also claims her math surrounding pancaking is incorrect, a reference to Dr. Wood's billiard ball example, BBE. This is not a model. It is a thought experiment to encourage people to re-evaluate, in a dispassionate way, the rapid demise of the towers. Nathan Allen has not fully understood this example, it seems, that is it is an example not a model or a simulation. Note that Dr. Wood's billiard ball example, BBE, was accepted through peer review and presented at an international engineering conference in June 2006. Nathan Allen also takes issue with the references to Coral Castle. In an article posted on his brother's site, he claims to have busted the idea that it is not well understood how it could have been built by one man. Nathan Allen makes a bold claim: Coral Castle has mystified engineers such as Chris Dunn. No one has been able to clearly show how all its features were built. Certainly, from my own examination of Coral Castle, I have concluded that the man who built, and rebuilt, it, Ed Leedskalnin, seemed to have knowledge about how to move and carve rock that no one else in modern times seems to have. Sterling D. Allen reviews Dr. Wood's book. On 9 December 2012, 1 month after the BAM conference, Sterling Allen posted an article entitled Part 1, The Ambulance That Survived WTC-1 on the 11th of September equals Best Evidence for Dustification and Free Energy Demo. This article seems to be reasonably accurate in its description about some of what is covered in the book, although it repeats an earlier claim by Stephen E. Jones et al. That active thermitic material was discovered in dust from the 9/11 World Trade Center catastrophe. And again, the claims of thermite do not explain the evidence shown in the book Allen claimed to be reviewing. These thermite claims were not submitted to NIST in 2007 by Jones et al. Allen included a number of images scanned directly from Dr. Wood's book, and these were used without consultation or permission, but at this point, no action was taken. At the end of this article, seemingly out of sequence with what else is covered, Allen writes, Stephen Jones is not a disinformation agent. He sincerely believes that controlled demolition, using nanothermite along with conventional explosives, was used to bring down the towers, based on the evidence he has personally witnessed and studied. See my November 19, 2012 report about his reasons for saying that what people are calling cold fusion isn't fusion. This statement implies that something to the contrary is stated in Where Did the Towers Go, which is not the case. Vote for the evidence, vote for the truth. The finalization of this article documentation was prompted by an anniversary posting about Dr. Wood's book on Sterling D. Allen's PESN website. Allen entitles this as being part two of an earlier review of Dr. Wood's book 292. Again, Allen has included a number of images scanned directly from Dr. Wood's book, and these were used without consultation or permission. Whilst the thrust of what is written seems sincere and well-meant, there are again important errors which could have been avoided through prior consultation with Dr. Wood, who is referred to as Judy in the article. Some of these errors will be discussed below. First, however, I would like to discuss Sterling Allen's inclusion of polling in the article. Is this to encourage doubt and uncertainty about what may or may not be in the book? As the article is not a full reproduction of what is in the book, then really, because of the importance of the evidence, I ask how can people make a fair judgment? Similarly, voting on whether the towers turned to dust is a ridiculous notion, especially when no images or video of this process are shown in the article. Additionally, voting on who committed this crime, that is inside job, is a ridiculous notion, considering that no evidence or discussion whatsoever is presented as to who committed these crimes. This appears to be an attempt to associate Dr. Wood's work with opinions that are void of evidence. Cold fusion and space beams. Due to the concerns expressed above, especially Allen's connection to Stephen E. Jones, I finally decided to write and present these concerns to him. I also included audio clips of Stephen E. Jones mentioning space beams, bonds, Fleischmann and fusion 281, and Stephen E. Jones coining the term cold fusion 284. As has been the case in the past, for me at least, responses to the emails I have sent have been quite illuminating. You can read the full exchange on my website. The tone of his response is pleasant enough and, after all, he was not obliged to respond at all, but he did, and in some detail. I asked Sterling Allen why he had decided to use the pictures without permission. His response was, I didn't finally decide to do this article until last night, and I wanted to have it as the 9/11 feature, hence I didn't have time to first get permission from Dr. Wood. A lack of planning does not negate the need for permission. I asked Sterling Allen if he had used polls on any other articles and he kindly responded. You can see a list of the polls I've done at http://www.99polls.com/profile_90262. You will see that in the past few months I've done polls with other technology postings, including the Yildiz Magnet Motor Demo and a feature on Jeffrey Miller. http://pezn.com/slash/2013/08/13/960235555_interview_with_jeffreymiller_energybatlab/. I asked why he had gone to some trouble to use them in this article. He responded. Just curiosity. I've actually been very pleased with the response so far. I had thought there was more hesitation in my audience regarding 9/11. However, a lot of this traffic is coming from rents.com, which isn't my usual audience. I also asked him about a comment he made at the end of Dr. Woodsman's presentation where he stated he would discuss what he had seen in the presentation with his friend Stephen E. Jones. Sterling Allen actually stated that what he had seen was obvious. I inquired if such a discussion had taken place and what the outcome, if any, had been. Allen replied. Yes, I met with him. He remains a good friend. I've gotten 2 emails and a phone call from him in the past week. I reported on my conversation with him following the Holland Global Boom Conference at http://pezn.com/2012/11/960225_Stephen_Jones_Replica_Pons_Underscore_Replica_Pons_Underscore_Excess_Underscore_Heat_Underscore_Not_Underscore_From_Underscore_Fusion/. And ever since that meeting, I've been driving home the point with my audience that cold fusion is probably not a proper terminology for what is happening. It's most likely not fusion but transmutation, if that. It is a high energy reaction, and most likely nuclear, but almost definitely not fusion. That is the point that Steve was trying to make all those years ago, and it has taken this long for it to start catching on. Now, I bet if I were to take a poll of my audience, I should do this soon, I bet that around 70% would say it is transmutation, 10% would say fusion, and 10% would say anomalous heat, and 10% would say nothing, bogus. This reply included nothing about Dr. Wood's presentation, nor Allen's statement that following Dr. Wood's presentation, certain things that happened on the 11th of September became obvious. Instead, he reiterates Jones' position on cold fusion, which, as discussed above, is not accurate. This was not really what I had asked him. In a subsequent email I put it to Sterling Allen that Stephen E. Jones had lied, both about Pons and Fleischmann and the true nature of molten metal discovered at the WTC site. I suggested that Jones may, indeed, have some kind of knowledge about what really happened to the WTC and he was helping to keep this covered up, just as he had been helping to keep certain evidence, research and knowledge about Lenore covered up. Allen responded. Regarding Steve Jones, I don't find any problems in the audio files you attached. He's stating his position from how he sees things. Yes, he coined the term cold fusion, and yes, he admonished that the term fusion not be used where fusion was not indicated by the evidence. If he has a misunderstanding of Judy's presentation and mislabels it space-based directed energy weaponry, chalk it up to misunderstanding and seek to set the record straight through cordial, not accusatory and inflammatory dialogue. Judy's portrayal of Steve is one of a crass conspirator, and I find it very offensive. She is very wrong on that, and will have to answer by karma, and perhaps part of that is the misportrayals of her work by others who are supposed to be on the same team. I have yet to find a case where Steve lies making a statement on something he knows not to be the case. He might portray something contrary to your belief on the matter, but that is not a lie, it is a difference of opinion or paradigm. I note that Mr. Allen refers to his good friend as Steve Jones but refers to Dr. Wood as Judy. Allen is very keen to defend Jones, making excuses that he does not understand the evidence in Dr. Wood's book and on her website. This is extremely odd, because Jones is a professor of physics and Allen has no advanced degrees and openly states he is not a scientist. Earlier, Allen stated that Dr. Wood's evidence made it obvious what happened, but here we have Allen making excuses for Jones. Also, Jones used the term space beams, not space-based directed energy weaponry. Why did Allen translate this term? Dr. Wood does not even discuss space-based directed energy weaponry. Dr. Wood does not discuss what the weapon was, much less where it was located. She only discusses the type of energy involved. She has ruled out thermal energy weaponry, kinetic energy weaponry, but has not ruled out directed energy weaponry. Dr. Wood has never stated where the weapon or weapons were located. This is even stated on the conclusions page of her original article in 2006. Also, Allen criticizes Judy, claiming she castigated Stephen E. Jones. Why does he make this claim, when it was Andrew Johnson that wrote to him about Jones lying? It was not Judy that made these statements. He diverts onto other issues, which I was not even aware of and had not questioned him about. Allen characterizes lies as a difference of opinion. To me, this is the sort of language manipulation which is used to help a cover-up stay in place. Perhaps I should just chill out? Again, there will be some who will chastise me for being overcritical of Sterling Allen, perhaps suggesting he is giving free publicity to Dr. Judy Wood's book. However, the publicity is best when the coverage is accurate indeed. Accuracy is vital because of the importance of what we are dealing with here. I have found and documented that 110, on many occasions, the goal of quite a number of people has not been to fairly and accurately document, review or characterize what is in Dr. Wood's book and on her website too. This has been true even though it seems, on the surface, like those people are trying to be helpful. In his email, Sterling Allen says to me, "Sorry, this appears to be a hot button issue for you. You're hypersensitive to it. Chill out." And then, "Judy really needs to chill in her castigation of the whole 9/11 truth movement. She has a victim mentality that really sours the potential reach of her material. She, unfortunately, is her own worst enemy. She commits treason against her own mission in life." Amazing stuff. An ad hominem is a logical fallacy. Instead of addressing the questions posed to him, he insults someone else. Lest, 12 years after the event, we are starting to forget something, let us remember what we are talking about. 1. The crime of 9/11, which killed 3,000 people and set the stage for all the terrible things that have happened in the war on terror. 2. The use and cover-up of an advanced weapons system which operates by using some form of directed free energy. Sterling Allen wants us to chill out. Under the influence? I have written before about the evidence which indicates that, A, certain figures in the alternative knowledge or truth movement seem to have the ability to influence others in subtle ways. Jim Fetzer is a prime example. In reading through Sterling Allen's messages and postings, I got the sense that Sterling is trying to do the right thing, and some of what he says in relation to 9/11 and Drive Wood's research is reasonably accurate. However, why did he post these articles, using images without permission? Why did he talk about Wood's research at the BOOM conference in the way he did? Why did he describe it as a Tesla death ray? Why does he not ask himself serious questions about the role of Stephen E. Jones in this whole matter? Instead, he chastises us and tells us to chill out. The description Tesla death ray sounds, to me, similarly dismissive to the term space beams. Sterling Allen tells us he is in regular contact with Stephen E. Jones. Could it be the case that Stephen E. Jones is exerting some kind of influence over Sterling Allen, which blinds Allen to certain facts? I have only included this as I felt, especially at the end of the BOOM presentation, he was struggling internally with conflicting emotions. This feeling of mine was only made stronger when I read some of his emails. Here we are yet again. I have documented another example of Dr. Wood's research being brought to someone's attention. They then characterize it as just a theory. Say, well, it's plausible. Say, well, I think it was a mixture of things that was used to destroy the towers. Don't talk about the relationship to cold fusion. Behave as if to suggest we should just be one big happy family, okay? Again, I can only present the evidence to you, because of what I have found and what I know. I cannot do things any other way. I hope it was worth it. My email correspondence with Sterling D. Allen can be read on my website 295. Sterling D. Allen sentenced to minimum 15 years in prison in June 2016. A report from the Utah newspaper Daily Herald describes that Sterling Allen was sentenced by Judge Darold McDade to 15 years to life in the Utah State Prison for two first-degree felony charges of attempted sodomy on a child.